Morning, church. Take your Bibles, turn me to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. I want to take a brief moment here to invite everyone to Anna Reed and my house tonight. We are having Beyond These Walls at our home. We're going to have a fish fry, and we hope that many of you will come out and enjoy this time that we have with one another to spend in devotion to God and also fellowship one with another. My dad's bringing his witch cauldron up, so we'll see how that works out. But I do want to say that last week's Beyond These Walls was a huge success. We had around 100 people there, and there were a group of heroic women that I want to tell you about just for a moment. I won't call their names because we don't want their heads to get too puffed up. But if you were to talk to them after the incident had occurred, they would all pretty much promise you that that snake was poisonous. And what they had done in the moment is what any heroic individual would do. They grabbed baby Riggins and threw him straight at the snake. We won't say their names. But anyway, in 1976, while reading to his daughters, Edward Packard would invent something that would affect in a very prominent and influential way every kid that was raised in the 80s and 90s. As he would read to his daughters, he would make up stories, and eventually the stories he would tell over and over again, he decided he would change up a little bit. And the way that he changed the stories up is he would get to a point in the story and he would allow his daughters to choose the direction that they wanted to go from here. He would give them a couple of options and they would choose one of the options, and by the which option they chose, it would lead to a different adventure. As you may know by now, he invented Choose Your Own Adventure books. And as a kid, I can tell you that I love these books. I was never good at them. I always chose where maybe a mountain would fall on me and my crew and we would die instantly and I'd have to start over again. But that was the fun part about these books, is you could read and have your own adventure, and then you could read it again and choose another adventure. And I got to thinking about that this week, and I thought about, as I look forward to the end of this year, I know the sermon series that we are going to do, and it's going to be about, I don't necessarily have a good name. I've thought a lot about a compass. I've thought about direction, and I've thought about purpose, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to get God's direction and purpose for our lives from the Scripture. And so last week led me to the sermon of talking about us being lost and us seeking the lost. And today it's that individual idea of direction, how we choose the direction of our lives. And in thinking about choose your own adventure, I come to the Bible and I think about choosing their adventure. And I want to start out by making the disclaimer that's very simple by C.S. Lewis. And we don't want to come to the Bible and look at things that have happened in the past and look at them with chronological snobbery. We don't want to look at and judge these people completely on all of their actions, saying, if I'd have been back there, I'd have done this. But what I want to do is I want to approach this from the idea of choose your own adventure. And passages that came to my mind when thinking about this, immediately Jeremiah 6 pops into my mind. This is a chapter in the prophecy of Jeremiah that's pretty important and influential on how it's going to happen in the future and what's going to take place. See, the Babylonians are marching. They're coming, and they are going to absolutely, utterly destroy Israel as we know it. In Jeremiah chapter 6, what we have is what Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, he comes to the tribe of Benjamin, and he speaks to the Benjaminites in a way and trying to inform them of what the future holds. And the future holds the Babylonians coming and destroying life as the Israelites know it. And he is warning them that this is going to occur, and he is encouraging them to run. But they don't hear. And that brings us to the verse that I want to start with, and choose their adventure. And again, we have a whole lot more knowledge than the Benjaminites have. The knowledge that they've been given has been given in this prophecy by Jeremiah from God to them, warning them of what's going to occur, but yet these events have not occurred yet. So they don't have 100% faith, obviously, and they're hard-headed, stubborn, and they don't listen. But Jeremiah 6, verse 16, the passage that I thought about immediately when I thought about choosing your own adventure, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. Here speaking to the Benjaminites, giving them this warning, and they're at this point, this precipice, if you will, where they have got to make a decision. And they can make a decision to hear the words of Jeremiah and run, which are delivered by Jeremiah from God, or they can choose, well, we're just going to hang out and see how it plays out. Now, every one of us, I assume, if we could choose their adventure, would go back to this moment, and we would choose run. I cannot tell you the description here that is used completely, the vivid image that is given by God of what the Babylonians are going to do, but he calls the Babylonians a great press. They're going to walk in, and they are going to be a great press, okay? They're not going to be the grapes. No, that's going to be the Israelite people, and they are going to walk on them as you would grapes in a grape press. And you can see that image in your mind. You can vividly see how this nation is going to come into the Israelites and going to walk on them like they are grapes. So I assume in this moment that every one of us would walk into this choose adventure moment and we would say, having all the knowledge we have, we're going to choose to run. The next moment that I think about choosing the adventure or choosing their adventure is a moment where I wonder, not necessarily which way we would choose, but if we were truly in these shoes at this moment, which way would we go? And immediately I think about the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26. And in Matthew chapter 26, you already know the context of this story. But Jesus has, all that he was going to do has come to a culmination, and he has had that meeting and that last supper with his apostles. He has sat down with the person, the apostle that's going to betray him. He has washed all of their feet. He has had to correct Peter, and tell Peter, you are going to deny me. And Peter makes that bold stand, it's not going to happen. And then we enter into the Garden of Gethsemane. And the two paths that we have to choose is to continue walking the path that we've already walked, which is the path that God has laid out for him, or to choose a different way, and that's to run. To avoid what seems to be in our immediate future. And as we get to this section of the life of Jesus, we read in Matthew 26, 36 through 38. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them all, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. In this moment, as we walk into the choose, the adventure, again, we have this wonderful gift this morning of having the full knowledge of this story. We understand that Jesus is going to be the sacrifice for every one of us in this room. We do not deserve it. We did not earn it. We will never earn it. But we know where this course is going to go. But if we were to take ourselves and put ourselves in the shoes of Jesus in this moment, do you hear what the scripture says? He is overcome with sorrow. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been overcome with sorrow? And not just any sorrow. He says, I've been overcome to the point of death. I think about that silent cry. I've talked to you about that before. But I don't know if you've ever had that silent cry, but you hurt so bad and you're screaming so loud within, there was no noise coming out. I don't know all the emotions that Jesus is feeling. I know what I've been told by Scripture. And I know the words that he utters immediately to God the Father, and they are this. Whoo! If any way possible for this cup to pass, Lord, please, please let it pass. So we get a little glimpse of his emotional feelings, his state of mind as he's about to enter Jerusalem and be crucified. And the question that I want you to think about this morning in choosing his adventure is, which path would you choose if it were your boots that had to walk that journey? We're lucky this morning, aren't we? I don't know if you can be honest with yourselves about which journey you would choose. Let's see. Walk into Jerusalem, get hung on a cross, or run. I don't know which path you would choose. And I'm not judging you in any form or fashion because I'm asking myself to choose also. What I'm saying this morning is we're lucky. We're lucky because the person that did choose chose right. The next thing that I think about when I think about choose your own adventure is the Sermon on the Mount. I always tell people, anytime you get to feeling really high and mighty about yourself as a follower of God, simply read the Sermon on the Mount. If it doesn't humble you, then you're not reading the Sermon on the Mount. But in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he gets to this point in chapter 6 and then on into chapter 7 where he starts presenting two opportunities. And he's saying there's this opportunity and there's this opportunity, which is good. And it's good. It's good for us because a lot of times when we're given so many options, it sometimes fails, isn't it? Have you ever taken a kid into a Baskin-Robbins and they have like 78,000 gajillion flavors? Oh, you're going to be there a while. They want to know the name of every one of them. What is that? What is that? And it takes them forever to make a decision. And I'm simply going, if it has gummy bears in it, you probably don't want it. If it's some color that you don't know what color it is, you don't want it. If it's got some fruit that you've never heard of before, you don't want it. Go with the simple vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry, right? Oh, no, they want to know about everything. Sometimes when we're presented with a lot of options, we don't always have an easy choice. But see, in this situation on Sermon on the Mount, the beauty of it is its simplicity. So we have two options. And so what we want to do is I want to walk into chapter 7 for a little bit, and I want to put these two options here, and I want you to choose. They're simple options. Shouldn't be very difficult for us to choose. In the very beginning, I think the very first one that I want to go to, I don't think that anybody in here will choose poorly or the wrong path. But when we look at Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, we see two gates. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Let's look at descriptive words here. First one leads to destruction. That doesn't sound fun. The second one leads to life. If we are presented these two options, if we are standing at a road, and there are two roads, and one says imminent death and destruction, and the other one says peace and life, I don't even think we have to ponder, do we? Do you have to say, which way you think we should go, honey? Maybe we should get the family together and vote. Do we want death and destruction, or do we want peace and life? It's a no-brainer. We take the road that is narrow. It may take us a little bit longer. May not see a whole lot of people on this road, but it leads to life. It's the road we're going to choose. And right after this, he says, in verses 15 through 20, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits, you will recognize them. So, two options, two trees. Which tree do you want to be? You want to be a tree that bears good fruit, or do you want to be a tree that bears bad fruit? And again, looking at descriptive terms, it says if you are a tree that bears bad fruit, then you are cut down and thrown into the fire. We don't have to dwell long on this. You know, if we were judged on our intentions, boy, we would all be in a great standing with God today, wouldn't we? If God looked into our heart, because I am 100% convinced that everyone in this room wants to be good, wants to be better, and wants to be a person who influences this world in which we exist to be better. And when I think about it, if we had to pick a tree, if we had to pick a tree of what tree we wanted to be, we would want to be a tree that was full of good fruit. I oftentimes come back to this verse when I'm trying to pick and move forward in a story that I've been told by other people or a situation that I am personally influenced by when it comes to a human. And when it comes to a human, God has given us a test. And the test is pretty simple. What kind of fruit have they bore in their lives? This is not some test I made up. It's not some tough test. If you walk very long with an individual, you're going to tell what kind of fruit they are. You're going to tell if they're fruity or not fruity. You're going to tell if their fruit is good and plenty of people have come and been nurtured by this tree, or you're going to know quite quickly if this tree is bad and the influence that this individual is having on the lives of others. You cannot run from what type of fruit you're bearing. But if we had to choose, no doubt we would all want to be a good tree that bears good fruit. Look at the next one. Verses 21 through 23, two people. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now, I want to be very honest. When I approach Matthew 7, verse 21, I immediately think about the churches of Christ, because I hear this passage in the conclusion of, I'm telling you, when I was growing up, 80% of the sermons that I heard in the churches of Christ ended with Matthew 7, 21. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of the Father who is in heaven. And it was that passage where it was just brought before me where I had to see it. It's not only about saying, Lord, it's about doing the will of the Father. And many times, this passage would be evoked when they were speaking about people that were a part of the denominational world. This passage is very specific. It is very direct, and it comes after the passage of fruit trees. Fruit trees. And this is the question. What type of tree? What type of fruit? And also, understand this. Just because you have verbally committed to the world that you are God's child doesn't mean that you're living a life that has committed to the Father. And listen, we've already been given a test. But what kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to be the person that verbally commits to everything, but outwardly, practically, it never comes to fruition? Again, this is a no-brainer for us. We want to be the people that are whole hog committed to the situation. Not just part, we want to be wholly committed. And then at the end, the very last one I want you to see here in this passage, it's two houses. You get to choose a house today. What house do you want? In verses 24 and following, the Bible reads, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. What house do you want? Do you want a house that's built on the foundation? Or do you want a house that's built on the sand? What we know is that the storm is coming. We know that a storm is coming, and the question that we have to answer, or the adventure that we have to choose, is what type of house do we want? Now, I don't know about y'all, and I'm not trying to be political, and I'm not trying to say anything about climate change, but I want you to know the weather that we are experiencing, for me, is quite unique and weird. People are like, well, there's records some days, and there's not records. It's been so consistently hot. I watched Andrew Cooper and Charlie play soccer for about 2 hours yesterday, and I was exhausted just sitting in the sun watching them play. I can't imagine what they were experiencing. And what we understand is, even though this weather is what it is, we know that sometime in the future, it's going to change. And as sure as it's going to change, we also understand that a storm is coming. A storm is coming. You might right now wake up this morning and have found yourself right in the middle of a storm. You might be that individual who has realized that you are coming out of the storm. Or you may be that individual who's walking in a certain way and preparing because you know the storm is coming. What we know is the weather's going to change. And the question or the adventure that we've been asked to choose is, where do you want your house to be built? And again, all of these in the Sermon on the Mount, I come to them and it's rhetorical. It's one of those things where the adventure that's put before us is so simple to choose. Going back to Edward Packard and his books, I remember as a kid, I was telling Anna Reed, I always chose the good path. I don't know why. Maybe I just thought God was there and he would know. But like you would come up to a merchant and it was like, stab him and take all his goods or pay him a fair amount. I was always like, all right, I'll pay him a fair amount. You know, whatever. I always tried to choose the right path. That didn't always lead me to a good place. But I came to that adventure and it was always easy for me because I didn't want to be evil. And in reading a book and having adventures before me, they were easy. And I guarantee you this morning, out of the last four options, they were easy to choose for you. They were absolutely no-brainers. I'm going the way of the good. But that's not life, is it? Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 24. When I thought about choose your own adventures, when I thought about Jeremiah 6 immediately, after that passage, my mind went to Joshua chapter 24. Because this is reality. And the reality of this passage, it's one of those passages that is absolutely a golden text, and it is oftentimes overused. But I want you to remember where we are in the nation of Israel, in a time period in history, where we are when we get to Joshua 24. The conquest of Canaan is complete. All of the enemies that God wanted to be destroyed or run out of Canaan have been destroyed or run out of Canaan to the best of the Israelites' ability. Now, they neglected a few of those, and they'll come back and haunt them, but I don't have time to go into all of that. So the land has been divided up and dispersed into to the tribes. This tribe gets this area. This tribe gets that area. And after the dispersion of the land, then we have Joshua calling all of the elders of the nation of Israel together to one place to give them a speech. And it starts out with Joshua saying, I'm old. That's the beginning of his speech. Now, I want you to know that the people didn't necessarily need to know that Joshua was old from his own mouth. They had watched him grow old in the conquest of Canaan. They'd watched him grow up in God, and he had become a wonderful leader for the nation of Israel. But his speech, starting out with the words, I'm old, tells us all that it is coming to an end. His time as the leader of Israel is coming to an end. And as he spends the next two chapters telling the people what he needs to say, he comes to that very climactic moment that we all know and have heard before. But it's in verses 14 and 15 of Joshua 24. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now dwelling. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This big moment, this wonderful, wonderful climactic moment in the last speech that Joshua gives to the nation, he tells them to choose. And the thing about this passage is it is ever enduring, isn't it? If there were a moment in your life where there were two roads before you, one was the evil path, and one was the path of God, I'm pretty sure that moment would be chosen properly for everyone in this room. You would say, I'm going to choose the good path. The problem with being human is that the choices keep coming. It's not like you make one choice one day and never have to choose again. And I'll be honest, and hear me well, teenagers. One of the things that you do not understand until you have to do it is the responsibility of being a grown-up. I could not wait till I was 18. I really thought freedom was going to occur. A headband was going to grow around my head. I was going to grow long hair. I was going to give people the peace symbol. I was going to be free. The thing that I did not realize was all of my life up in that point, I had been free only because the human adults around me had allowed me to be free. I never thought about having to get up and cook my own breakfast, or better yet, going shopping. I used to love to put sugar in my coffee. Until you move into your own house and have no money, then you really love some black coffee if you can afford it, right? We ain't got any sugar, but we got coffee. You begin to experience things in a new way. You never think about having to get yourself up. My mama was always there to get me up. Boy, I took 7:30 classes when I first went to college. I did not attend them, but I put them on the list that I was going to go to them, right? 7:30 classes. Then you realize you got to get yourself up. You got to get in bed at night. There's no one going to be there to remind you of all this responsibility. And the thing that you begin to realize is, wow, this whole time I've really been indecisive and never thought about it. One of the most things that gets me more frustrated with my wife than anything is that when we decide that we're going to go out and eat. I bet many of you have experienced this. Then you get in the vehicle, like, what do you want? Anything be fine, anywhere you want to go. And the first three places you name are not fit and suitable for anywhere in her mind. Well, that fit anywhere in my mind, but it didn't fit anywhere in her mind. So ultimately, I have to make a decision and pray that the decision that I have made is going to make both of us extremely happy in that moment. Now, I'm not mad about that. I'm trying to make a point about making decisions in life. Being free, being a child of God, being human, means that you're going to have to choose a lot in your life. And what you're going to have to constantly do is work on the foundation of your life so that when the choice happens for you, when the choice is laid out for you, that you will choose the proper adventure. And I want you to hear me also very well. You're not going to get all the choices right. I'm not trying to give you an excuse this morning for living a life poorly. But I do want you to know that you're not going to make all the right choices. I wish it were that easy, that you build the foundation to it. It is so solid. There's nothing that is going to bother or hinder the directions that you choose. Then you're going to be thrown a choice where there are no good options. You've got to choose one of the bad options. Whether it be a parenting moment where you see no clear path to a good road, but you've got to choose. I used to tell the teenagers that would gather before me on a Sunday basis, your mother and father don't go to their bedrooms at night about, oh, what can we do to make them mad tonight? Woo! I cannot wait to get these kids angry at us. We don't do that. It causes us just as much grief as it does you. But at the moment, we have to choose sometimes a path that we don't always know. We can't always go. We can't always do. We have to choose to the best of our ability. But understanding that sometimes we will make the wrong choice, that we need to be able to seek and retrack our steps, and so that we can choose properly. And the proper will always be coming before God with humility. Because the path that he leads us on is a path that is a path of rest. It doesn't mean that we're resting now. It's meaning that it will lead to rest. If you were to answer the question right now, if you were to look back over the last 3 months of your life, the adventures that you have chosen, have they been leading you to godly places? Again, I'm not casting judgment. I'm asking you to look into your own life. And I know that every night when you get in bed, you have to deal with who you are and the choices that you've made. My question is, how's the adventure going? Is the adventure going where you have found yourself dwelling with God or not? Brethren, you know the answer to that. And you also know this morning what you can do if the answer is, I'm not with God. This morning, church, if we can do anything for you, please come now as we stand and sing.